The following is an excerpt from the Science Magazine podcast. To hear the whole show, visit www.sciencemag.org and click on Science Podcast.
Now, Eric Stuckstead, managing editor of Science's online daily news site, Science Now, is here with a wrap-up of some of the latest science news, including a story on storing hydrogen with chickens. How so?
The basic idea is that chicken feathers are hollow, so that they're good places, it turns out, to stuff stuff, in this case, hydrogen gas. Now, the reason you'd want to store hydrogen gas in the first place is that it could be an alternative fuel for a new generation of vehicles.
For a hydrogen economy, got it.
Scientists have been working on ways to do this, and one leading idea is to use carbon nanotubes as a key component of a storage tank for hydrogen. Carbon nanotubes are also hollow. They store hydrogen gas very well, but they're very expensive. So chicken feathers, on the other hand, are plentiful and cheap.
What's the advantage of carbon nanotubes or chicken feathers to the way that scientists currently store hydrogen gas?
Well, for a vehicle, you want to be able to store a lot of gas so that you can drive a long way. Now, to do that, you would have to compress the gas, which has disadvantages. So it's a big plus to be able to use something like nanotubes to be able to store a lot of gas under normal pressure.
And you don't have to do anything to the chicken feathers to have them behave like carbon nanotubes and store the hydrogen gas?
Just pluck them, Rob. But seriously, you have to heat them up and carbonize them. In fact, that's where the idea came from. The researchers were trying to figure out a way to strengthen feathers for an entirely different product, and then it turns out that they were a great way to store hydrogen gas.
How do they compare as storage mechanisms compared to the carbon nanotubes?
They hold about the same amount of hydrogen gas per unit weight. They'd be a lot cheaper for sure. The estimate here is that if mass-produced, you could get a gas tank of chicken feathers for under $200. But both chicken feathers and nanotubes have a long way to go before they meet the current target for storing enough gas to make it feasible as a tank for a vehicle.
Now, carbonizing chicken feathers, heating them up, as you said, that's going to require some energy too. If the overall goal is clean energy, what's the cost to the environment in heating up, or burning, rather, a whole bunch of chicken feathers?
Well, that's not clear, but I'm sure that's one of the factors that will come out as these ideas move down the pipeline and we try to figure out what the best technology is for making that gas tank on the hydrogen vehicle.
Okay, and what other stories have you got with you this week?
Let's move on to sharks. We've got an interesting piece of research about great white sharks and a new method for studying how they hunt.
Which is?
Taking a cue from detective work, police detective work. So one tool when a police department is trying to track down, say, a serial killer, is to try and figure out if there's any commonalities in the place that the attacks happen. So a team of marine scientists took that tool called geographic profiling and applied it to great white sharks, which they studied off the coast of South Africa. Now, the great white sharks are hunting seals. It's a big population of seals in this bay. It's not as easy to catch a seal as it might sound, even for an enormous shark. The seals are quite agile and good at evading the sharks. So the sharks have to ambush them.
So the geographic profiling then helps the researchers find out what's the best spot for an ambush.
Exactly. The way they do that is tracking a lot of shark attacks. So they follow them, they note how big the shark was, whether the seal got away or not, where they were, what the ocean bottom was like at that particular place. They run that all through a mathematical model, and they can figure out what does a good hunting spot look like for a great white shark.
So it's not as if they're tracking individual sharks with some sort of tag or something like that.
No, they're watching individual attacks from their boat. What they found when they analyzed all 340 of these attacks were that sharks don't necessarily pick the best place to ambush. There are other factors that the sharks are weighing to figure out the best spot for them to attack. And that's where the seals, obviously, but also where the other sharks are. They have to compete with other sharks for the best spot, it turns out. And the best spots, it turns out, tend to be monopolized by the biggest, oldest sharks. They found that the younger sharks have to swim over a broader area to try and find seals to ambush, and they were less successful at it. So good to be top shark.
Right. So last story. What's this last one about?
Well, from the excitement of shark attacks, we move to the excitement of grain storage. Now, that may not sound exciting, but really, if you think about it, storing grain has allowed, Well, it's allowed us to do this podcast, basically, because it was being able to store the sun's energy that allowed societies to grow, to flourish, civilization to emerge. Because really, what farmers are doing is they're storing the energy of the sun. That energy then you can use to, say, survive the winter, or pay artists, or podcasters.
Okay, I'm convinced.
So when and how did this happen? This is coming from an excavation of a site just east of the Dead Sea that's more than 11,000 years old. Researchers have already found 10 buildings that are circular and made of stone. Now what they found are smaller structures. They're about 3 meters in diameter that were used to store grain. Inside some of these structures were stacks of notched stones, which appear to have been used to hold beams to raise a floor off the ground so that insects and rodents couldn't eat the grain, and to circulate air so the grain would stay dry. And what's interesting about these structures is that they predate the oldest definitive evidence of domestication of cereal grains. So what they were holding were grains from wild plants that apparently had been cultivated but not yet domesticated. So that could mean that storing grain was a necessary step towards being able to cultivate it, so domesticate and improve varieties.
Thanks, Eric.
Thanks, Rob.
So what other stories are you looking into for Science Now or on the policy blog, Science Insider?
On Science Now, there's a story about how animals accelerate, a nice study of dogs and horses and why they don't pop wheelies when they start to sprint. And on Science Insider, two of the items are about transparency. One's about the role of political transparency in fisheries management. The other story is about transparency at the Food and Drug Administration and how they evaluate scientific evidence. So be sure to check out all these stories and more on the site.
Eric Stockstead is managing editor of Science Now, the online daily news site of science. You can check out the latest science news, plus find a link to the science policy blog, Science Insider, at sciencenow.sciencemag.org.